Okay, so we're on our third day, I think, of Siman Kuf Tzadi Beis already, of Dam Chimud. So yesterday we went through Shitas HaRambam a little bit, where the Rambam's Shita is that you can't even get married until after Shiva Nekiyim, but if she marries the Talmud Chacham, then it's different. Then you're allowed to get married within the Shiva Nekiyim. You just you wait until after the Zayin Nekiyim to be Tovel and have Tashmish. But and the reason the Rambam gives that Talmud Chacham is aware of the Isser and will stay away from her, and you can trust the Talmud Chacham even though you can't trust other people. So the Kesef Mishnah we went through yesterday asks that the Rambam makes it sound like it's an issue of the person's knowledge, so why don't you just tell them? We had a couple of approaches to resolving that question, and then we suggested or pointed out two ways that that the Nosei Kelim on the Rambam understand the Shitas HaRambam. You have the Magid Mishnah, who assumes that a Talmud Chacham is even allowed to have Yichud with her, as opposed to like a Chuppas Nida, where there's no exception even for a Talmud Chacham. And it's based on Yuma Daf Yud Ches, that when Rav Nachman came to the city, he looked for a woman to marry him for that day, that he would be there, and the Gemara says, I dam chimud. And one of the answers is that they were miyachadim la'atzmam nashim. They were miyachid women for themselves, which means that they had yichud with them after Nisun. They just didn't have bia. So that was the understanding of the Magen Mishnah. We went through some kashas on the Magen Mishnah, and then we saw the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah says, no. They're not allowed to have yichud. They can get married, but they're not allowed to have yichud, which is a little bit difficult, because what does that even mean, according to the Rambam? Right? According to the Rambam, definition of nisuin is yichud. Yichud roi labia. That's how the Rambam defines nisuin. So Kesef Mishnah understands that they can't have yichud, and it's a kal v'chomer. If when she's a vaday nida, which is nisar kares, he can't be trusted, and then he certainly can't be trusted when there's a chashash bi'alma, meaning a person is going to be more likely to violate an issue that he doesn't think is such a big deal. So in the case where a person is a vaday, a woman's a vaday nida, he knows that this is an issur kares, and you're still not going to trust him to have yichud. How could, including a talmid chacham, we don't trust to have yichud with a vaday nida, how can you trust a talmid chacham to have yichud with someone who's only a chashash of dam chimud? So that's the Kesef Mishnah. We went through some other shitas as well, the Ravitz Shita and the Tos Yeshanim Shita. Good. How do we paskin in this machlokas? Can they get married and have yichud or not? So the Torah says they can't get married, and if they do get married, then no yichud regardless, talmid chacham or not a talmid chacham, and that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins as well. We treat it like a woman becomes a nida before they ever had tashmish, where the halach is hu yashin bein hanashim vihi yashena bein hanashim. Right, the halach is that they each sleep among their friends. We'll have to discuss soon what that means exactly, and what do we do when their taka is a chuppas nida. And beyond that, we're also going to have to discuss, forget about a chuppas nida, very often there's a maisim b'chol yom, it's not a chuppas nida, but the woman becomes a nida before the couple's ever successful at having tashmish. So does that create an isur yichud, right? Meaning, how do we handle that situation? So that's also a lot to discuss. That is very much halach l'maisa. So as much as we say the basic idea of dam chimud is not so much halach l'maisa, because every woman is toveles anyway because of nida, there are lots of implications la halacha in terms of timing the tevila, which hopefully we'll talk about today, and meaning even if you've taken care of her nidos, are there additional concerns or additional things to be worried about when it comes to dam chimud, as well as these issues of yichud after she gets married if she becomes a nida. So again, we saw already yesterday Shulchan Aruch and Kuf Tzadi Beis Si'if Aleph, just to quickly chazer over. So Shulchan Aruch says to Voli Nasi Bin Espaisa, you need Shivin Akiyim, whether she's a gadol or a katana. And even if she did a bedika right away, it's still not good enough, because we're afraid that she still missed it. She missed that tipas dam, and she needs 7 days mimachras yom hatavia. But not necessary to have a hefsik tara. because even though Shalom Batka Yom Atvila Hafsik Batara Monam Yom Amachra Shavinakim, the chashash was that there was one drop of blood, not that she was Mayana Pasuach, and therefore you could still have Shavinakim afterwards. And the Rama says, but the Shavinakim should be Kol Yom Chachila. She should do Bedikat or Shavinakim. But B'diavad Lo Batka Asmarak Pamachas Toch Shiva Sagi. That is the Rama, that if she does a bedika once during all 7 days, once in total during all 7 days, that is good enough. The Shach points out in Sivkatan Beis, right? The Shach writes, "Umiyutzricha, going on that Rama, going on the Shulchan Aruch that she needs a bedika toch shiva, zeloshun Beis Yosef." But Uldas Harash, Lchadchila Miyatzricha Livdok Bechol Yom Mehashiva, Umi B'diavad BePamach Hashabbat Katoch Shiva Sagi, Tlodifer Mirav Adas. Meaning the Rush is who the Ramaz paskening like. The Ramaz paskening like the Rush that really you should need to do a Bedika all 7 days. Elamai, if you do one Bedika during Shiva Nekim, it's good enough. Ad Kan Lashonah. I'm sorry. Delo Adifa Mirav Adas. Because after all, it's no different than a woman who's a regular nida, where the halacha is that if she does just one bedika during all 7 days, that's good enough. So the Rosh says, so over here it would be the same, that b'diavad, one bedika during all 7 days is good enough. V'nira, d'ritzon l'lomar, d'lo adifa mirov v'adas, d'sfir le'la rosh l'kamansim v'kof sadivav d'sagim b'diavad v'bakam pa'machas toch shiva. What he seems to be saying is that because the Rosh's shita is that in general you only need one bedika throughout all 7 days, that's why over here also you only need one bedika throughout all 7 days. But this halach of dam chimur is no more kal than any other shivanikiyim. It's the same as all shivanikiyim. Ulfizel didon the kaimel and hasam siftal zelosag yel bebatka biyom rishon biyom shvi. And therefore, says the Shach, if you're going to learn the Beis Yosef like that, like if you're going to learn the Rosh like the Beis Yosef does, that this is the exact same halacha as a regular Shiva Nekiyim. Well, how do we paskin about Shiva Nekiyim? We paskin that they need two bedikos during Shiva Nekiyim, day one and day seven. So we hear also. He says, but I don't think that's what the Rama means. Because how could the Rama just, say over here, one bedika? That may be the lashon of the Rosh, but that wouldn't be how the Rama should paskin. The Rama paskins in Kuf Tzadivav, like the Mechaber says, that you need two bedikos, day one and day seven. So how could he just throw in here, just one day is good enough. One day during Shiva Nekim is good enough. No, it's not, according to the way we paskin. So it sounds that the Rama is in disagreement with the Beis Yosef in terms of how to understand Shitas Harash. And that really we're more makel over here than we are by a regular Shiva Nekim. Sounds of the Shach explains because it's only dam chimud, you only need one bedika. But normally, of course, we would require multiple bedikos. Then the Taz raises an interesting question that seems very academic in nature, meaning not practical. But the answers rely on all of the things that we've learned about the sugya. So it's kedai to go through all the answers, the ones the Taz gives, and answers that others give as well. Right, the Taz in Sifkatan Aleph, Taz raises the following. Says the Taz that he doesn't understand how we account for Dam Chimud Gabe Tamar Atesha Bepesach Einayim Shnasna Einayim Lidvra Sharmel Yehuda Torah Ani Minida. That Chazal tell us that Tamar told Yehuda that I'm Tahora, that I'm not in Nida, and that's why they were able to be together. Rus goes into Boaz's bed after she goes to the mikveh. He says, but I understand what happened to Dam Chimud. Meaning she may have been mitar herself from Nida, but as soon as Yehuda suggests that they be together, or as soon as Boaz suggests that they be together, then Tamar and Rus, respectively, should have had to been choshesh for dam chimud, and there should have been an iser vaitim. They should have required shiva nekiyim. So it's like the kind of question. It's like a style of learning, to fit all of the halachas back into Tanakh. usually not so nogei lemaisa to learn, in that style. It's leibedik, but it's not so halacha lemaisa. But the terutzim that are given, that the Taz suggests, based on the kasha, the yesodos that he develops and that others develop, are kind of very instructive. They're kind of instructive. The simple reading of the pesukim in Rus is that Boaz slept with Rus without waiting 7 days. The place he points out that the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Chaf says, and it's pretty explicit in the Pesukim also, that they didn't sleep together that night, right? They didn't sleep together that night. And the place he therefore suggests that, who knows, maybe she counted 7 days before they slept together. How does the Taz know that they didn't? However, the Medrash Yalkut Shimoni in Rus says that he asked her, Tahora at Otameya at. And she answered, Tahora. So apparently he was interested in sleeping with her before Shivanikim, meaning if he wouldn't have asked Tahora at Otameya at if she anyway was going to do Shivanikim, because then she could do Shivanikim and be Matar herself, even if she was Tameya. But the fact that she had to confirm that she was Tahora. Not only that, the Medrash in Rus Rabbah says, Lini halayla, halayla zu at lana below ish, ve'ein at lana laila acheres below ish. Meaning, Lini halayla means, tonight you're going to be alone, but after tonight you won't be, which implies that there was no requirement for Shiva Nagim. So this is a Tazis Kasha. Again, I don't know if these kinds of Kashas bother you, but there are 8 different Mahalchim in the Achronim and how to be Mitaris Tazis Kasha. And it utilizes a lot of the yesodos that we've already developed. So I don't know. Indulge me as we go through some of these answers. So the Taz suggests that there were only gozer al dam chimud when they made the gzeres k'samin. That this gzera of dam chimud was much later, long after the times of Tamar and Rus. Even though based on Yumadaf Yirches, the gzera was around in the times of Rav already. Way before the times of Rav. I mean, even though we say, Omar Rava Tavolinase, right, that Rav is one that says Tavolinase, that she needs Shivanakiyim. But the Gemara says that Rav went to town, and he said, hey, whoever wants to marry me for a day. And the Gemara asked on him, how is he allowed to do that? What about Omar Rava? Rava wasn't around yet when Rav did that. So Elamai, this must have been earlier, must have been before the times of Rava. But it doesn't go back that far. It only goes back to the time that they made the Gzeret Ksavim. So that touches on the Yisod that we had before. What exactly is this Gzeret about? Is this similar to a Gzeret of Ksavim, right? We had that Machlokas. What is the Dam? Is it Dam Nida? Or is it, and the whole Gzeret is that there was no Hargasha, plus you don't see it, you don't know that it's necessarily there. So there were goes of this along with Ksamim, which is Dam Shalom Bahargasha, because Dilma Argasha Vlavadaita. There were goes of this also Dilma Argasha Vlavadaita. Or do you say, no, this is a totally separate Gzeira. This is not Dam, this is Dam in Aliyah. And Dam in Aliyah maybe brings along some Dam Nida with it. That's a totally different story. So then if that were the case, maybe it didn't come together with the Gzeira of Ksamim. Could have come later also, Lavdafka, that it came earlier. That's answer number one of the Taz. Then the Taz says, furthermore, the Taz says, furthermore, Va'onir l'taritz, degabe tamar v'ros, Shachta once told me that he wouldn't name a daughter Tamar. But that was strange, no? Tamar, too. But they both had such difficult lives. I think it's not the minhag, no? I think it's people named daughters Tamar. Interesting. Anyway, by Tamar v'Rus, lo yechashash shem etira machmas chimud, that there was no chashash that they might see dam machmas chimud by Tamar and Rus. Why? To miyad shen espayis Yehuda Boaz also yimayim b'mita. It happened instantly, right away. They slept with them right away, which is against the pashas of the pesukim, certainly by Boaz. Right? I didn't sleep. So there was no time. There was no wedding planning. It was, you want to do this? Yes, and then right away. And therefore, there's not going to be dam chimud. So that's a little troubling, right? You would think, right? Is that what you're going to ask? No? I mean, you would think that if it happened right away, there's a greater chimud. I mean, chimud, it sounds like it's like there's this excitement. There's this. So the excitement is much greater when it's compacted into like just a few moments, that it's all happening so fast. You know, the mashal, sometimes you have a couple, a guy and a girl that are dating for like months and months and months and months and months, and then they get engaged, like, oh, finally. Right? Meaning, like, we're excited, happy, mazel tov, wonderful. But then sometimes it's like, whoa, it happened so quickly, and then, whoa, that came out of nowhere. You know, so so when things happen more quickly, it's like more jolting, no? So if this is a jolt to the system, if that's what it is, so then you would, I have two relatives of mine that are both dating. And one of them is from the more yeshivish Shevel, and one of them is from the less yeshivish Shevel. One of them started dating in July, and the other one started dating 2 weeks ago. And my wife said, "You watch. The one that started 2 weeks ago is going to get married before the one started dating in July." Yeah, sometimes that's the way it works in different. Okay, but I don't know why I mentioned that. But the point is that you would think that it would happen for sure if it's in such a short period of time. So Doug Mavava points out that this Taz is, it seems to have a basis in Rishonim also, that the Tosfos Yeshanim in Yuma Daf Yud Ches Dibur Maskel V'I explains the Gemara over there, right? The Gemara says Yichud Avi Me'achdi Lahen She'ino Dam Mishiyesh L'Pas Pesal Mishein L'Pas Pesal. Right, that was the Gemara's line. So Tosfos Yeshanim over there writes Shelo Hayu Omrim Lahem Linase Miyad El Me'achdi. They wanted a woman just for Yichud without informing the women in advance that they were interested in getting married, and once they were B'Yichud, so then they could have B'Yichud with them. That's essentially what those are. As long as you don't tell them in advance that they're getting married, you just and then once they have B'Yichud, oh, by the way, we're getting married, and then they could have B'Yichud right away, and that's not a problem. So my friend Rabbi Asher Fruchter in his Sefer Peres Habayis just gives a little bit of beer over here as to where this idea comes from. This idea that if it happens more quickly, that there's not going to be dam chimud. He says it really boils down to one word in the Gemara. The Gemara says Amar Rav Tavul Linasei. What's the next word? Vinispaisa. Right. So what does Vinispaisa add? Tavul Linasei. So Pashup Pshat is that the dam chimud will only come once she says yes, right? Meaning once she's committed to being married. Sometimes you have a guy that, a lot of times you have couples that go out and they're not really on the same, they're not going at the same speed, right? So sometimes you have a guy that will decide right away, this is the girl I'm going to marry. And the girl is not so convinced that this is it. So he's been working on it and working on her and working on her and working on her, and he knows he wants to marry her. So you need Vinispaisa for Dam Chim. You need her to actually say yes. Right? It's not enough that he asked her, that Tavuoli Nase. I remember one of my friends, when he got engaged, we had to convince him each date that it was worth going out again. And it was worth, you know, that we thought she was, like, it took a lot of convincing. It wasn't Pashut. And when he got engaged, someone from her family said, she came back from the first date saying, this is the guy I'm going to marry. You know, so they, sometimes people go on different, they're not necessarily seeing eye to eye in how the relationship is going. So, anyway, it still functions like a regular marriage where she's in charge. But, that doesn't have a long-term impact, you know. Anyway, so that's the Pashup Pshat. But he says, it could be that the Taz read the Gemara differently. Tavuli Nasev in Espaisa means that part of the chimud is that there's a period of downtime where she gets to absorb what just happened, and that moment where she absorbs what just happened, that's when the chimud, that's what brings about the chimud. Meaning, it's not the Tavuli Nasev, the commitment to get married that brings about the chimud. It's the commitment to get married followed by taking some time to absorb it, and that's what the Shas Pius is when she's anticipating the Bia, is when the Chashash exists. Also, obviously, you see from Taz that the Chimur is Chimur for Bia, not for Nisuin, right? That's what the whole Pius is about as well. So those are the two Terutzim that the Taz gives. Yeah?
Couldn't you just explain the Taz?
Right. So I think that could very well be also. Yeah, chimud doesn't mean a arousal or something like that. It means desirous of that which is out of your reach. And if it's right there in your reach, then it's not chimud. Yeah, I hear that.
We mentioned, I think, on Thursday the ra'ah, that if the tefiya is shas kedushin, so then theoretically that could be a problem for what we do today.
Right, but if you say like this Taz,
then anyways, it's
right, then it should be okay. Although it sounds like Taz is saying they're ima b'mita, you know, like they're mamish right there, as opposed to like waiting through a 6-hour wedding, right, until you get to that point. The Torah Sashlamim goes back to what he says in Simukov Pei Gimel over here. Torah Sashlamim had that funny comment this is going way back, but he in Kuf Pei Gimel, based on the Gemara Nida Daf Lamed Aleph, right? The Gemara raises the question: why does the Torah say that it needs Tameh for 7 days? Meaning, what do we need Tumas Nida for? Wouldn't life be so much easier if you didn't have to worry about it and your wife was always Muteris to you? So the Gemara says, Mesha Ragilba, Vikatzba, Amritar Te Tameh Shazyam. Because in a relationship, things can sometimes get stale, things can sometimes become more boring, so in order to generate excitement, in order to infuse the relationship with new energy, there's this away time, this physical separation, and that brings about, that they fall in love all over again. So the question is that the entire reason for Nida is only because of a relationship with her husband, according to the Gemara. So why does a single girl become a Nida? A single girl also has Tumas Nida. Me'imam Ratorah that a single girl should be Tamei L'Sheva. So the Torah Sashlamim, back in Kuf Pei Gimel, gives three answers. The second of which is that the question of Me'imam Ratorah wasn't on a Zava, because there are lots of types of Tumah in the Torah that takes 7 days. Tumas Sheretz, Tumas Meis. The question was about Nida, that Me'imanavshach. If it's going to be treated like a Tumah Chamura, why would she be able to go to the mikveh right after the bleeding for 6.5 days? If it's Tumah Chamura, she should require 7 days of getting rid of it. And if it's not so Chamur, then why does she even need 7 days in the first place? Why isn't it just a Tumah Seref? Meaning, the kash of the Gemara was that Nida doesn't fit any, it seems like a Chiddush, it doesn't fit any of the known categories of Tumah that we already have. So the answer that the Gemara gives works for Nida and only for married women, right? But nowadays, we assume all women are Zava, so there's no longer a distinction, because for Zava, it's not a question. So that's why we assume nowadays, a single girl is the same as a married girl. But in a Chinami, before we treated all Nidas like Zava Gadolas, maybe a Nida would be different than a Zava. And for a single Nida would not be a problem. Apparently, before Chumra Zerbizera, only Nesuos had to wait 7 days, and not Pnuyos. Me'mela! Bring it back here. Rus and Tamar, maybe in a Chanami, it became Nidas. This is before Rabbi Zera. So a single girl becomes a Nida. You don't need, you don't have rug above a Katzba, so you don't have Kadesh Techaviv al-Balik Shask Nisaz al-Chubba, me'mela, you don't have the 7 days. It's a lot of darshin and time of dekra. You know, that's the reason for Nidah Tumah L'Sheva. You're going to change the halacha based on that? You're going to say that the halacha actually was that a single girl didn't require 7 days? So Torah Sashlam is in love with this chiddush. You know, he said this chiddush in Kuf Pei Gimel, so he fell in love with this chiddush, and he uses it over here to answer the Taz's Yisod. So we get a little chazara. The Chavos Das writes something different. Chavos Das says, wait a second. You're assuming the whole chimur is a chimur about bia. Who says that's what tam chimur is? Tavua? Ninase doesn't mean to have bia. As the Taz would say, look, afilu kal shabakalim doesn't talk about tavua lavo aleha. you wouldn't say that. If we don't talk about those things. So that's why it says Tavoli Nasei. But says the Chafetz Chaim, no, maybe it's Dafka Tavoli Nasei. That it's the Chimud Nisuin, not the Chimud Bia that causes the Dam. Yosem Mishayish Rotzalisa, Isha Rotzali Nasei. Meaning a little girl grows up dreaming about her wedding, about the white dress, and whatever, the whole being a princess. She doesn't, the Bia is something that causes her great anxiety more than excitement. The wedding causes her excitement. And a woman has no interest in Bia without Nisuin. So that's not going to create Chimud for Bia without Nisuin. So says Chavos Das, it's all about the Nisuin, it's got nothing to do with Bia. Again, Meduyuk in the Lashon to Volinase. Is that a Raya? So Lechem Vesimla says like we said, no, it's not a Raya. Lashon Mekiyah, you're not going to, again, Afilu Kal Shabakal, we don't speak that way. In fact, in some of the Rishonim, in the Mordechai, in the Sharidura, it says, V'roa dam chibun machmas taivas tashmish. So this is a relevant issue. I mean, not relevant in our world, but Rav Azar actually talks about this. For a woman who's getting married, and she's so innocent and so sheltered, that she has no idea about Bia. Till like the day before the wedding, the Kala teacher says, oh yeah, there's one more thing. You know, after she taught her all the Vilchus Nida and everything else, she says, by the way, there's this thing, you know, she teaches her the birds and the bees. So Rav Azar discusses this shayla. So now the Avdam Chimud. She knew she was getting married, but she didn't know that there was going to be such a thing called Bia. A lot of times the Kala is, depending on what her background is, the Kala is very naive in terms of a lot of things, usually not to that extent. I mean, she doesn't even know that the concept exists. That's a problem because she never learned Mishnayos, so, or Chumash, I guess, I don't know. I don't know, who doesn't learn anything? They learn something, right? I don't know. That's why I always say it was always easy. The easiest way to teach your kids about these things is just learn Mishnayos with them. So you have to explain what's going on in the Mishnayos. So you tell them, don't teach these Mishnayos on the bus. It's better than them learning on the bus. So Rav Azar discusses as if it's a real issue. Like this happens sometimes, that if she only finds out about Tashmish during the week before her wedding, that she needs a new Shivanikiyim. So several nafkamina, whether it's about marriage or Bia, meaning that's one nafkamina is if she only finds out. What if she marries a man who's incapable of Bia? That's also halacha l'maisa. Right? Someone who's paraplegic or whatever, so get married also. Sometimes you have children. They could do things to draw the zera out of the person and use, nowadays, medical miracles, right? They could do these things and a person is able to have children even though they're not capable of regular Bia. So there's not going to be regular Bia. Okay, so there are other intimate acts that they do, but not going to be regular Bia. So it's machlokas, lechem v'simel, and chavos das. Also, if she needs bedikah each day after the wedding, that they don't have Bia. Right? I mean, the wedding already happened, so she already had her chimud. She reached the goal of the chimud. But Bia hasn't happened yet. So if it's Taivas Bia, so then l'chora, there's still chimud going on. Especially if we assume like Shita Sarash, that chimud builds. That as it gets closer, that there's more of a chashash of chimud. And Taz brings a raya from a Pilagesh, where it's pashut that she doesn't need Shivanikiyim before each Bia. So Lechem V'Simla, Kitz Shulchan Aruch, he rejects that raya because Dam Chimud only comes when after your Masiach Das from being with the person, like Machzir Grushasa, when you think like you're never going to be with them again. But if a guy has an ongoing relationship with the Pilegesh, there's no reason she should need Shivan Akim each time based on Chimud. Right? Meaning, the Taz Raya is that, look, a Pilegesh isn't married to him. And yet each time they have Bia, therefore it should be like a new Tavua Linase, it should be a new Tavia. So it says Lechem Simla, no, there's an ongoing relationship. Anyway, that's answer number four to the Taz's Kasha, if you assume against the Taz, if you assume like the Chavos Das, that it's about chimud nisuin and it's not about chimud bia. Tferes Moshe, answer number 5. Then maybe we're assuming like those we showed him that a moch dachuk would work. And maybe Rus and Tamar used a moch dachuk. Okay, maybe. Rav Azman points out nowadays a moch dachuk definitely does not work because it doesn't really fill all the charon is stuck in. And he says in kalvchomer underwear doesn't work, meaning just the fact that a woman is wearing tight underwear does not mean that you can be absolutely certain that there was no tipas dam. Meaning the svara would have been that you would have seen it on the underwear. No, but she changes and she goes to the bathroom and there are other places that could have come out that you wouldn't have seen. It could be stuck in the bayis hachitzon. The sharafrayim, Chuvas sharafrayim, simin ayin hay, says maybe we assume like the Ravya, that if she was bodekas hatzman and didn't find dam, that she won't need shivanakim. Again, this is just a chazar of all the shittas that we learned, right? So the shittas Ravya is that if she did bedika, we don't pask like that, right? It's against what we say in Shulchan Aruch. And that's why Yehuda said to Tamar, Havona avoelecha. And Rashi explains, Hachini atzmacha, right? Prepare yourself. What does it mean, prepare yourself? Do bedika. And then we'll, okay. Chsam Sofer, in Nida Chafam Beis, says, you know, if you assume like those Rishonim that Dam Chimud is in fact Dam Tar, it's Dam in Aliyah, and the entire concern is that Dam Nida might mix with it, so the Gemara seems to assume that there were Amoraim that had expertise in being able to identify the difference and being able to say, oh no, this is just Dam Chimud, there's no Dam Nida here. That's what they would smell it. They would smell it and say, oh, just Dam Chimud. If Amoraim knew it, it's possible Yehuda and Boaz had that same expertise. So maybe they were able to know. In a chinami, there's dam chimud. But they were able to identify it as purely dam chimud without any dam nida, and mele was motor. Again, it's just a good way to chazer all the things that we learned before. And the final answer, the makna in Kuntros Achron, Hilchus Kiddushin Simon Samach Aleph. He says it could be that fundamentally a woman is ne'mena salatzma, that she didn't have a hargasha and is therefore tahora. The entire chumrah is only for the guy to trust it, right? That he's not allowed to trust it. So Yehuda thought that Tamar was a zona. There's no way there's chimud for a zona. Meaning, she's not experiencing anything different than she experiences every day. She's a zona. So he's allowed to believe that she doesn't have any time. That won't work for Boaz. Right, no, it works for Yehuda, not for Boaz. Boaz didn't think this was his own. Adra, the Gemara has so many drashas in the Sacha Shabbos about how Boaz was so impressed that this was such a tsunua, how she handled herself with such tsunias. Yeah.
The Chassam Sofer's answer would only work if they had blood. Meaning, if there was no blood at all, then you would be able to rely on that, right?
Probably, right. Lich Ora. Okay, all right. So that's as far as the Taz's Kash. Let's move on from that. There are certain special cases that should be pointed out. The Pisgei Teshuva in Sivkat Analev writes that if a woman had Shiva Nikim before Chalitza and then had her Chalitza and then wanted to marry someone else on the day after the Chalitza, she needs a new Chimud. What do you think? She wasn't dating this guy before? She was dating the guy before. She just needed to get the Chalitza out of the way before she could marry this guy. Yeah, but there was something standing in the way of that marriage. Chalitza was standing in the way of that marriage because she was still Zakuka Liyava. So she needs new chimud, new shivanakim, because she couldn't have been planning to get married while there was still a zika to another man. Right? We assume that the dam chimud will only begin once it's a halachic possibility to be married to that guy. Tavoli nasi v'nispaisa means not just that she said okay, but that it's an actual plan. A lot of times you have people planning weddings before it's even a possibility for them to be married. If Gerus candidates or something, that will, someone just told me, I was in Detroit, that they had a Gerus candidate that they had to reject. Because the candidate was, the Beis Din found out they had planned an entire wedding, you know, for X date, and the Beis Din hadn't yet confirmed that they're going to do the Gerus by then. So that's an issue in Gerus, but as far as Dam Chimud is concerned, the Dam Chimud will only begin once the Gerus is complete. So that's an interesting Shaila, right? sometimes we do a geirus and a chuppah right away. We'll do a geirus and a chuppah right away. So I didn't ask that shaila. We do it all the time. They bring a chuppah to the mikveh and they just just struck me now. I should probably ask Rabbi Ram. Anyone sees Rabbi Ram walking around the house?
Is it because they're married in secular court already and they've been living together and there's nothing really special emotionally?
I mean, it's because they're used to being together. It's not always the case. Usually not the case. Usually we require a havchana. We'll keep them apart from each other.
Maybe I made it clear that they were planning to get married, whether or not there was a geirus?
No. I mean, they're waiting for the geirus to get married. Look, sometimes, more often than that, you know, than doing a chuppah at the tevila, they'll, you know, if there's someone, if there's a, you know, a love interest or whatever, you know, someone in the party, in the picture, they'll do the wedding at some later time. But that's a good question. We had there was a big wedding. We did a geirus with. I'm doing another geirus tomorrow with Rabbi Marcus in Queens, with Shmuel Marcus, your boss, and with Rabbi Ram. So last year, Rabbi Marcus made a wedding in his shul for a couple that we converted. It was like a huge celebration. SKA sent all the DRS, sent all those people. They made a whole big party. Very nice. But I think we do chuppahs right by the geirus. What about Dan Chimur? I don't know. Okay, I'm going to have to get back to you on that. No, I hear the Teretz that if they've been living together, but what if they haven't? His Chetshuva sounds like they have to, it has to be halachically mutter. Then he quotes Chamude Daniel that you can't count Chimud until they write the Tanayim, because there's no Smichas Das till there's the Tanayim. that we don't assume that way, right? Meaning our Tanayim doesn't mean it. Our Tanayim. They don't mean Ramesh's Tanayim, you know, where it says, are you familiar? When you get married, you have a ksuba. That's very, very important. Then you have a Tanayim, and the Tanayim that most of us use is just Ramesh's Nusach of a Tanayim, which essentially says, everything's kolach yuvim are taken care of, mitzav echasim, mitzav echala, and they lem shum tvios, they have no titus on each other, and everyone's ready to go. All that's left is that this guy is going to bring his daughter l'chuppah, that guy is going to bring his son l'chuppah, HaKol Shor V'Kayim, you get to give three kibbutzim. Okay, two people signed it, one person reads it, and everyone's very happy. But it doesn't say anything. I mean, there's no. Sometimes there are communities, Adat Yom, there are communities where they're still fighting it out. I think Rabbi Wiederblank said that he had a friend who was Masada Kiddushin, like a young guy, you know, Masada Kiddushin, like one of his first times. And the Kala's father was a mixed marriage, Sfari Ashkenazi, and the Kala's father comes in and he says, I want $1 million added to the ksuba. And the father of the chas is like, what? And he said, yeah, and they started haggling and fighting about whether you know what they're gonna add to the ksuba. And they settled on $500,000, I think, in the end. And the father of the Kala said to the Masada Kiddushin, this is our minhag. He said, your minhag is to ask for $1 million. He said, no, the minhag is to fight about it for a while until we settle on something. That's the minhag, that's what we do. So l'chora, according to the Chamude Daniel, that's a problem, because then you would need a new Shiv Nikiyim for Dam Chimud. But our Tanayim is not an issue. At my wedding, I remember my Tanayim, my brother typed up the Tanayim the night before the wedding. Because I either forgot to buy one, or my brother said, well, you can waste $5 on the Tanayim, I'll just type it for you. So he typed up a Tanayim for me the night before the wedding. And Rav Shechter was Masada Kiddushin, but my brother is married to Rabbi Tendler's granddaughter. So Rabbi Tendler, if he's there, he's taken over. So he was running the show. And Rabbi Shechter said, who's going to read the ksuba? I said, Rabbi Tendler, good, so let him fill it in also. He could read his handwriting better than he could read my handwriting. So Rabbi Tendler filled in my whole ksuba. So Rabbi Tendler looked at the Tanayim and he said, this nusach is all wrong. This isn't Shver's nusach. So my brother said, Saba, I copied it from Abba's Tanayim, Abba Nima's Tanayim, that was written by Ramosha at their wedding. Shver wasn't feeling well that day. He turns the paper over and he rewrites the whole Tanayim. So, but also he had a problem because it was a shtar muktam. He said that it was dated a day too early. So again, my brother was fighting with him. So, but does a shtar that doesn't mean anything, does it still matter if it's muktam? Yeah, but it's wrong. You can't have it. So okay. But with our Tanayim, we don't have this concern. So then Piskachuva writes in Sifkan Beza, even a pregnant or a nursing woman, you know, that right? What does Piskachuva write in Sifkan Beza? Yeah. 7 months pregnant. Does she need Shiva Nakim? Or do we say, even a pregnant or a nursing woman needs Shiva Nakim? She's Muslak as Damim. It doesn't matter. Dam Chimur is a different story. Dam chimur could happen even where she's Muslak as Dam. Now, obviously, you're talking about a case where she's pregnant from him, right? That was the case of the Piskei Teshuva. Why does it have to be a case that she's pregnant from him? Can't get married, right? There's a separate halacha in Evan Ezer that you're not allowed to marry Uberes Chavero or Menekes Chavero. So the fact that you're marrying her, that she's allowed to get married, is it obviously means that it's from him. I was once sitting with Rav Schachter, and he got a phone call from a rabbi. From Rabbi Yalman, from Brooklyn, and Rabbi Yalman said that he had a shaila because there was a family in his shul who had a daughter who was no longer religious, and the daughter was an older single, and she decided she wants to have children. She's not finding a husband, so without asking a shaila, the daughter went and got pregnant by donor sperm, right? So she got pregnant. So that's a big discussion in contemporary poskim, whether a woman is allowed to do that, meaning what's the yisr exactly, other than just it doesn't seem like the yeshivish thing to do, right? I mean, so what exactly is the issue? So anyway, this girl did it, and then shortly after she got pregnant, she met the man of her dreams. So now they want to get married. Problem is, she's got 7 more months of pregnancy, or 6 more months of pregnancy out of her, plus 2 years of being a menekes before they can get married. Mubar's chavera, menekes chavera. And they asked Rabbi Yamin to be Mishar Kiddushin. So he called the Rav Shechter and he asked what to do about that. So this was like Rav Shechter's Bekius was on full display. Look in the Piskei Teshuva. He quotes in the Rebbe Yehuda, read it and call me back. That was the response. So he read it, he called him just like that. The Piskei Teshuva and the Menekes Chavero. So he called him back, and ultimately he was makel to be Masada Kedusha. Whatever, it's a long story. But generally speaking, the default position is that you're not allowed to marry Mubaris Chavero or Menekes Chavero. The cynic in me says, yeah, she met the man of her dreams just after becoming pregnant, meaning, all right, whatever. But Odia Shlomar, that the baby wasn't from Donus. Okay. So the Shevet Alevi, Rav Azan in the Tshuva, in Chelek Hesem Kuf Chav Beis, discusses a woman who had a hysterectomy. Can you be makel there? There's no uterus. So are you going to worry about Dam Chimud? So he discusses such a case. And he says, Lo Shaykh Gedr Lo Plug, Rak Bein Beis B'nei Adam, the Gam B'Shein Yeshev Sharis Lug Zerizu. Lo B'Beis B'nei Adam Da'Shein Yeinu B'Gedr Agzer Klam. He says, you wouldn't even say Lo Plug by such a thing. Low plug would mean that, Mesulak has damim, let's say. That would be like a low plug. That it's possible that if dam can come out of her, and then I'm going to say low plug even though I'm not actually worried that dam really is coming out of her. And then you can say a low plug. But you're not going to say a low plug where it's not even shaykh. So he says at the end of the story, at the end of the tshuva, he says, Amina d'min hadin vaday lo tzricha. Im lo mechumr bialma. Aval vaday lo tivarech al tefila kazos. Which is also interesting. Says, Neiman, if you want to be machmir, you better not say a bracha on such a tefillah, because it's not required the halacha at all.
She wouldn't have to go to the mikvah at all, meaning she's never been anita in her life, and you could have a woman without a womb who 30 years ago.
Right, no, that she probably would have to go to the mikveh, right, but let's say she was married and had a hysterectomy and then her husband died or whatever, or got divorced at some later point. So do you have to worry about tamchima now with the next marriage? Yeah, but if she was in Ida before, she still would have to. I seem to remember we had this shayla come up to Shechter also. A woman with a hysterectomy was getting married. I think he was Mekel too. I don't remember. I have to check my notes. We had the shayla at the OU office one day. Someone called up with such a shayla. I think he was Mekel in the end. Yeah, I think so. I have to look. The poskim do say that if you have like Bali Tshuva who are already living together, that you don't have to worry about Dam Chilud. Right, similar to the story you just mentioned before, right, that there's not going to be a Chilud. Shevet Alevi has a case, a woman whose husband disappeared in the Holocaust and then came back. Or he was MIA and then he was ultimately released. Like, to what extent do we say, let's say they are married already, but she still gave up hope on ever being able to be with him again. She was Naguna in the conventional sense, not in the evil sense. Right, where the guy just—he was lost. He was MIA. He never. So that's an interesting shaila. I don't remember what he paskins. I just have in my notes that he has such a shaila. It would seem that if there would be a low plug, this would be like a low plug lakula. You know that a married woman doesn't have dam chibud. Halachically, she's not. Meaning, how are you going to define what's called giving up hope and being with the husband again? What if a couple is thinking about getting divorced? Or she's so angry she thinks she's never going to be with him and they're going to get, they're going to get divorced. So is that giving up hope? She's going to require Shimon to give him for Dam Chibud? If she's the spies afterwards? I don't know. Hard to say. As far as the actual Tara process, so Rabbi Fors goes through step by step, but let's just mention some of the basics. The Gilui Rasha says, Lini Nitzrich Lahamtin Milisbarad Hei L'Riyasa. Does she need the 5 days before the seventh? Meaning normally, before a woman counts seven clean days, she needs to wait 5 days from Tchilas Re'iyasa, from the beginning of her Re'iyah. Why? Because she still might be Paleta Shechvazera, and you can't count Shevinakiyim if you're still within the period of Paleta Shechvazera. So she has to be Choshish, maybe she's Paleta Shechvazera. So what does the Gilui Marsha say? Ayin Shach Sim Kuf Tzadi Vav Sivkat L'chav. Okay, so let's do that. So what does the Shach say in Kuf Tzadi Vav Sivkat L'chav? Shach says that a Kala doesn't really have to wait 5 days, which is very mistaver. Why does a Kala not have to wait 5 days? She was never with her husband before, so she's not going to be pulled out of Shach Vazera. But he says, it's Dvarim Mahmutarim V'Acherim Nagul Be'anisir. That's a minig anyway. Even though a Kala doesn't have to, minig is that you do it. Acherim Nagul Be'anisir. However, says the Shach, if the other option is a chuppas nida, meaning if it turns out that by not waiting the 5 days, you're going to have a chuppas nida, if by waiting the 5 days, rather, you're going to have a chuppas nida, meaning a woman gets her period on, she gets a short period, right? She gets her period on Sunday, and her period will be over by Tuesday, and the wedding is next Thursday night. So it's going to be a chuppas nida if you make her wait Sunday, Monday, wedding's Wednesday night. If you make her wait Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, then she have Shimon Nakim, she's not going to be able to go to the mikvah until the next Thursday, and she's getting married on Wednesday, so we chubas nida. But if you just tell her, okay, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday you bleed, have siktara Tuesday night, then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday you're Shimon Nakim, good, then you'll be able to go to the mikvah before your wedding. So Shach says there's no reason for her to wait the 5 days if she's a kala. So I understand, there's a minug, but you're not going to allow chubas nida instead. Why not? What's so bad about a chubas nida? Is it the end of the world? My wife says when she was in seminary, one of the rebbeim mentioned something about chuppas nida, and like all the girls like had a heart attack. it would be the worst thing ever. And the rebbe said, it's not the end of the world. Like it happens from time to time. It's you can live a happy life even if there's a chuppas nida. Like it wouldn't be the absolute end of the world. Says the Shach, I'm not worried about that. Shitas HaRambam is you can't have a chuppas nida. I think this is not kosher. I'd rather be machmir for Shitas HaRambam than to be machmir for Dvarim HaMutarim V'Acherim Nagel Be'Anisir. That's what the Shach says. So for Dam Chimud or for a postmenopausal Kala, it would seem she certainly doesn't have this minuk. Meaning the minuk is only when Hechad Dishkiach or whatever. But for Dam Chimud, we don't have to, the minuk never developed. That's what the Gilui Marsha means when he says, look in the Shach, whether she has to wait the 5 days. It's only Shiva Nikim. That's clear. It's clear in all the sources, right? The question is, do I have Siktar that day? Shulchan Aruch says, Yom HaMachras, next day, after Dam Chimun, right? Yom HaMachras, not 5 days. So then she does a Bedikah each day, according to the Ramban, the Rush. For Dam Chimun, nobody requires two a day, even though the Shulchan Aruch does require two a day for regular Shiva Nikim. And we assume not like the Arzurah, she has to actually go to the mikveh. Right, the Arzurah held that the Bedikos verified that she never bled at all, and she doesn't need tevila. No, we assume that she did bleed, and she's doing Shiva Nikim like a regular Shiva Nikim. And then the Raman Sif Beis says, and this is very much Nogei Lemaisa, that the tevila should be no more than 4 days before the wedding. Ooh, okay, so there's what to talk about here. That's based on the rush, right? The rush is that the closer you get to the wedding, the more the chashash of Dam Chimud, right, exists. So the Taz and Sif Katan Hey points out that that's definitely against the Rashba. So where do we get 4 days from? Why 4 days? I mean, I would think it's got to be right before the wedding. It's got to be mamish right before the wedding. So the Taz in Sif Katan Talit says, no, the reason it's 4 days is because the minhag was to marry on Yom Revi'i and have Bia b'motzoi Shabbos. That used to be the minhag. All the Achorim screamed, that's a stupid minhag, a terrible minhag, it's an awful thing to do. Okay, but that's what people did. Okay, you can scream all you want, but that's what people did. So the minhag was always that there was 4 days between the Tevila and the Bia. Sidri Tara says, no, it's not the same stupid minhag that all the Achronim scream about. It's not talking about a minhag to delay the B'yas Mitzvah by a few days. That's the minhag Shtus. We wouldn't honor that minhag by modeling when to go to the mikvah, ideally, after such a minhag. Says Sidri Tara, no, it's talking about, when did they used to get married? When do people get married? Friday. Why? Because you can have two fleishik sutas during a week. No one can afford that. So once you have them Friday night, so you have chicken ready for Friday night, so you make the wedding suda on Friday night also. They get married on Friday. They used to go to the mikveh on Wednesday or Tuesday night. And Friday night they didn't have bia. It was one night that they didn't have bia. Why didn't they have bia Friday night? Bia b'tchila b'shabbos, sugya b'gimel k'subos. Wait a second. What happens at the end of that sugya and k'subos? Right? The halacha is mutar l'vol b'tchila b'shabbos. When I was in 10th grade, we learned that sugya. Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky was my rabbi in MTA. We learned that sugya for like 2 weeks. I remember he says, and finally the maskana is, what the level of chil b'shabbos? And the kid jumps up and goes, yes! Rabbi Kamenetsky looks like, what? if you know Rabbi Kamenetsky's look, he has a certain look that he gives to people when he's just like bewildered. It was the first time I ever saw that look. I think what the MS, the guy was like, he was excited about the sugya, and like he had taken sides. Who was just telling me that they say to help remember? Oh, the rabbi in Detroit was telling me that someone once gave him Eitzah, that a good way to remember your learning is right at the beginning of the sugya, when there's a machlokas, take a side. And then like you're going to want to try to defend it more, and you want to, you get more emotionally connected to it, and when you get more emotionally connected, I don't know if that's always such a good idea, but you know it probably does help with the memory and learning. So this guy had taken the side. It wasn't, So that's his retired point. But even so, they had a minhag that they wouldn't do Bia B'tchila B'Shabbos. So they would do Bia on Friday night. So, and yet they still went to the mikvah on Tuesday night. So zecher to those days when they did it 4 days apart from each other, and apparently that was okay. So we do that too, but no more than that, says the Rama. The tefillah shouldn't be more than that. So what if the bia is delayed? What if they don't bia on the first night of the wedding? Now a woman kala goes to the mikvah 4 days in advance, and this I get the shaila more often now. I don't know. I never used to get the shaila. People ask all the time, do we have to have bia on the first night? We don't want to have bia, we just want to express love in other ways, and we don't want the pressure of dealing with bia on the first night. So we have to try to have bia on the first night. So the Rama seems to say, yeah, and if you don't, you can have a problem. Right? The Rama says, it's machmel chachila to do bedikos if you don't have bia on the first night. Bidyavet without bedikos is okay. why b'diavad is it okay without b'diavad? Because we haven't done chimud. So the Taz says, yeah, because it's the secondary chimud concern. Remember, the Shittas Rashi is that there's a double concern. There's the initial chimud, and then there is the as it gets closer chimud. So that secondary chimud is not as sharp as that original chimud. Chavis Das says that the Rama really means to say that the wedding was delayed, but once they're married, there's no longer concern for dam chimud. Why? Why would Chavis Das say that? Because he holds it's all about nisuin. It's not about the bia at all. Right? Against the Taz, right? And the Lechem Simla. But the Shulchan is machmir to require a bidika each day after the wedding that they have an idea. I don't think that's a great idea. There's so much stress as it is for young people. And they're not used to this, and it's much less than that has caused kalas to break down crying, you know. Like, I don't think it's a great idea to be machmir that she needs bedikos every day. Pesach Habayis, quoted in the Biurim in the Badei HaShulchan, says that since Shasat Chak Kedieved, right, if the city she's getting married in doesn't have a warm mikvah, and she's leaving to that city more than 4 days before her wedding, she can go more than 4 days in advance. Because b'diavad, it could be further than 4 days, because after all, if she misses, right, the Rama says that b'diavad without bedikos is still kasher. So, if the tevila is done more than four days, early in the 4 days, the Rama says to do bedika each day, right? So the Bach and the Sidrei Tara say that even if it's less than 4 days in between, she should do bedika each day. Every day between the tevila and the wedding, she should continue to do bedika. So this is something that kalas often are told by their kala teachers to ask the chasm teacher. What do they recommend? Do they recommend that she should continue to do bedikas even after she's gone to the mikvah? I believe our Rebbeim recommend no, not to do bedika after she got to the mikveh each day before the wedding, but it is not pashut. Your chashulchan is mekel. Your chashulchan is mekel like the Rama. Your chashulchan writes, Ulzeba Rabbeinu Rama Lomar, this is our chashulchan kuf tzadi beis yud. Vilchachil yeshus mochatvila samachu bilas mitzvah v'chamal da'efshar, afilu samachla bi'ila, not just to the chuppah. But b'diavad ain't equal to zeh. Rak shetasa b'dika b'chol yom ada b'ila, or b'diavad gam zeh in a makev. Because you can't be more machmir about this than you are about a re'iyah v'adais. And b'zman akadmon they would be tovelis b'lel dalin b'ilos mosai shabbos v'kimin the kashal levatal minig l'chein somkhan al zeh gam l'chadchila. Aval kalpanim yosur mizeh lo timshach, you shouldn't extend it more than that. V'im nimshach tia zihir al kalpanim livdok b'chol yom. The kol ma'ashev shel zkuni misakninan, ach gam zeh b'diavad eino ma'akev me'atam shen esbar. Even if the tevila was a week before the wedding, it's not going to be ma'akev to do b'dika. So zeh shekas shachas nishol me'akala ein ha'minakein etzlein. Oh, that's a different comment that the Rama has over there, that the chasen has to ask the kala if she's tahora, right? Rama says in Sifes, yeah, yishol kala kodem she yigaba im shomer shivinakir. Did she have Shiva Nakiyim before he touches her? So that is not our minhag. Nosa Kelim already pointed out, right? The Shach says, "V'achshav lo nog b'kach." V'nir shesamach lal mashash shoshvinim regil lo dielach asan emi tmeiah. He would have been told. Shoshvinim, her, someone would have told him if she's tmeiah. That would not have stayed a secret. Last point, just to finish up this issue, the Sidrei Tarin Ostes and the Chachmas Adam and Kuftas Vav Gimel hold that if more than 7 days go between the tevila and the wedding, and she didn't do any bedikos, she has to do Shiva Nakiyim again. However, the Badei HaShulchan in Siyunim Os Ayin says, V'yesh la'ayin im tevarich al tevila zu. He says, I'm not sure if she should say a bracha on that tevila. I agree, he says, she needs another Shiva Nakiyim. If they miscalculated and the Kala teacher, you know, scheduled the tevila with her for the wrong time or whatever, but should she say a bracha? I don't know, because according to the Rashba, there's no chashash chimud, right? The chashash chimud is only that one moment. Either Rama passes like the Rash, I don't know why we. So we may be machmir for Shita Sarash, but would we risk brachah levatala for it? I mean, the fact that the Rama passes like the Rush might only be a chumrah. But I don't know if we're willing to say like the Rush, lekula as well. Okay, so Beit Hashem, on Wednesday, we'll go through Chasan and Kala seeing each other before the wedding, and what to do when a wedding is delayed. I think Rav Aaron Lichtenstein and Rebbetzin Tovah Lichtenstein's wedding was delayed. I think the Rav was in Avelis or something, and he wanted them to wait till after. He said, no, anyone know this, Maisa? No, someone do research. I'm pretty sure. I should ask my uncle. He was there. All right, and what happens if B'yas Mitzvah doesn't happen right away, which is very, 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 very Nogel Maisa? Very often B'yas Mitzvah does not happen on the first night, so how does that affect this whole picture? Okay, so we have our work cut out for us. Be'ez Hashem. We'll have one more Shia probably on Dam Chinuch.